Greetings in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Overcomers.ca. Facets of the Glorified Body, Addendum 4. Scriptures. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 8:19-23. 1 Corinthians 15:13-22 says, But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And a footnote from me, one is equal to the other. All that die in Adam is equal balance and weight to all that are made alive in Christ. From 1 Corinthians 15:42-49, So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Again, from 1 Corinthians 15:42-49. 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Ephesians 6:10 to 17, King James Version. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6:10-17. Just repeating myself. Matthew 16:17-20. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Revelation 12:3-5. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Revelation 20:1-3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And scriptures. 4 visions. First vision. It was as though my spirit was abiding, hidden in a cave with the other prophets of the Lord, when the wrath of Jezebel was present to persecute them, and to brandish her weaponry against them, so that they would be killed or maimed by the wrath of this one who represented apostate Christianity. For the modern Christian world has mingled itself with doctrines and beliefs of escapism and of self-exaltation to such a degree that their lives before the Lord have become tainted and filthy, which the Apostle Paul addressed when he wrote, Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7:1. The modern Christian world has thus become so tainted this way that they now are represented by Jezebel and her children as being binders to those whom the Lord would redeem, and persecutors to those whom the Lord would deliver. As such, I was in a cave, secluded, just so I could understand this apostasy. Then in the darkness, walking towards those hidden, there came a hoary, gray-haired, dust-covered old prophet, wearing the skin of a camel, and carrying a large book in one hand upon his shoulder. And it was so large a book, and a candle in the other, illuminating the cave. He came to a point in the cave where there was a shelf of wood set up, and he slammed the book down upon it, the dust underneath and through it billowing out with the force of his power in laying down this very large book. It was then that we knew that we were in victory. When this candle and this book were thus laid down in the cave with us, for we knew that the wrath of Jezebel would have no success in eliminating our lives and in persecuting us any further, for the witness of the spirit of Elijah had given us this confirmation, thus protecting us in this place where we were hid. Note, this vision of the prophets in a cave is opposite to a personal experience in the last few months, wherein I sought the Lord as to whether or not there were other prophets who were also hiding away during this time of tribulation in the earth. I had read how Obadiah had hidden 100 of the Lord's prophets from Jezebel in a cave, and my inquiry was if I was one of them. The Lord indicated I was, but not that he had covered me with his Elijah mantle, so I was out in the open in the world of men, not hidden, but exposed as anyone is able to read what is written without any seclusion from anyone who would attempt to thwart the will of God in preparing his overcomers for the glorification of their bodies. Please read a typology of this in 1 Kings 18 and First Vision. Second Vision. In this vision, I saw the newly glorified body of the overcomer as if it were laid out upon a plain. The term denoting glory, or to be glorified, means that the Lord so manipulates and changes the physical natural bodies of those who overcome with Christ in such a way as to make them deathless. Their bodies then are able to bear the entire weight of the substance and the person of the Lord. As such, the Lord becomes unlimited in the deathless physical body of that one whom he has glorified. The Lord, when he comes again, will only glorify those who obeyed his word and overcame as Christ overcame. Each one who overcomes will individually have all the person of the Lord abiding within them and upon them without measure or limitation. The whole entire infinite person of the Lord, or of the Father, if you will be freely seen and expressed through each individual glorified overcomer. At times, the overcomers will be used as a group or a body when they are the Lord's army, or when they bind in chains Satan and the minions of hell, throwing them into the bottomless pit before the next age wherein demonic influence cannot be found in the world of men. But individually, these will have the full measure of the Father upon them. So I saw this body laid out upon a plain, and it was in the perfect form of the tabernacle that Moses built. I saw the head as being the holiest place, and the rest of the body as being in perfect pattern of the tabernacle, with all the furniture and veils and instruments used to minister unto the Lord all things that pertain to worship and the coursing of his life in the nations. So it was that the glorified body was now shown as a fulfilled and perfect tabernacle of the Lord once again, without limitations, in the world of men in the near future. When I saw this, a three-month period of time came upon me in great war. Immediately I was attacked by the forces of darkness to prevent me from noting what I had seen in this vision and from sharing it with the body. Hence the long term of time between this writing and the last. The term was spent in much war against me for seeing and believing this word that the Lord would make his overcomers as tabernacles, by which God would be in the earth in full manifest power. So fierce was the war that many times in that 3-month period I asked the Lord to end my life and take me home with him where no war was possible. The Lord indicated that his grace was sufficient for me and that the heavens themselves are now also in great war, as the enemy of the Lord knows that his time is very short. So it was that I spent much time in this war over this vision, but emerged victorious because of the grace of God given to his people, so that they can overcome all things in Christ, regardless of their many failures in the natural world. End vision. Third vision. I beheld then the candlestick in the holy place, in the laid out body of the overcomer, and the presence of the Lord was the light of it. The light of it and the presence of the Lord were melded together with the spirits of they that are in the process of overcoming all things through Christ, and who are victorious because of him. Together they shone forth as light unto the outer reaches of the realms of darkness, from the focal point of the candlestick. This was no different than the overcomers going forth to battle and to war. As such, they went forth to do this work of binding the things of the power of darkness, and to be victorious in Christ in that purpose. This binding and loosing because of the candlestick was after the overcomer had been made deathless in the glorification of the body, and had been found filled with the unlimited measure of the Lord upon them. And also, this going forth to war and to bind the things of darkness was during the next age. The work of binding and loosing delivered the nations unto the restitution of all creation that the Father promised since the world began. End vision. Fourth vision. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ as he was presented to Israel out of the river Jordan by John the Baptist. Upon and within his person was the weight and glory of the Father as an abiding presence and power. The full portent of the Father in Christ was finally seen in his resurrection, as he walked in resurrection power once he rose from the dead. So I also saw that the overcomer in their natural bodies walk as Jesus walked, but later in their new bodies they will walk as he walks now in his resurrection power with the unlimited power and person of the Father. This vision is a warning that at the present time we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but that for now we are in bodies of humiliation, but with the hope of his coming and of our change, fashioning us like unto his body in the world of men. End vision. End four visions. The end of our faith. The verse of scripture above from Revelation 20 verses 1 to 3 is a picture of the conglomerate bodies of overcomers in unison in glorified bodies. This binding of the Prince of Darkness and his minions happens just as the Lord is bringing his kingdom to this world at the beginning of the next age. So that gives us a timeline. First of all, the overcomers who for now bear humiliation will receive their eternal deathless bodies, bodies changed like Jesus' body as when he rose from the dead. The very next step will be a concurrent course of action by these thus glorified, and that will be to march forward into the earth as the army of the Lord, and to also be the strong angel which binds the things of darkness around Satan and the minions of hell, and consigns them to the bottomless pit for the duration of the millennial reign of Christ in the earth. Both of these things are denoted by a body of people who descend from heaven to the earth to do this work of marching and of binding. These descend first because they first were the man-child who was caught up to the throne of God to rule and reign with him eternally. I say now in prophecy that we are at that time wherein we are about to be caught up to the throne of God. We are at the time when we are about to be delivered from the gaping jaws and the breath of the dragon, and caught up in the process of glorification. Some think the time is long for this. The time is not long, for the Lord will complete this work and will bring it to pass upon this generation that is now alive. To they that overcome comes this word. If you have indeed heard the call of the Lord to forsake all other things and to wait for his promised coming, and if you are faithful to that patient waiting, there is upon you now an anointing, and you are anointed to be part of the Lord's overcoming company, the Joel chapter 2 army, the strong angel with a chain who binds principality and power, Satan and the hordes of fallen spirits into the bottomless pit during the time of the reign of Christ in the earth. You are anointed to wait for all of this, but because of that anointing, you are also separated from all others. Your life has become a life of seclusion to a degree because of that anointing. The first thing that happened unto you when the Lord anointed you to this calling was you were separated unto God by the Holy Spirit. Now being thus separate from those around you, your face was turned upwards to behold Christ alone and no other person or thing. As your face was turned up, the Lord poured upon you the tests and trials to prove you and to perfect and cleanse you of anything and everything that would be contrary to this anointing. That cleansing and purifying by his great heat came at the expense of your entire lives. All that you are as a person was buried in the trial of life over years and years of hard sorrow and tribulation to keep you apart from all else and alone unto Christ himself. You are therefore found in him without duality, without your own way. Now in this proving, some who heard the call to overcome turned away. They went back to the world or to lesser elements in the earth, which include a passive acceptance of a lesser faith and a lesser calling. Try as these might, they fell away from this calling to a place wherein they became comfortable in the cessation of tribulation and in the fact that they were now in a place which was compromised. Some who did fall away into this, however, turned back to the life of hard trial when they realized that they were diminished from their true hope. They found they had become lukewarm, and they allowed conviction to turn them to true repentance, and they returned to this race of endurance to once again be part of the manifestation that is about to happen. Some, however, have not yet returned to this path of truth, but have gone back irreparably to lesser elements of faith. For the true overcomer, the realization that the years of hard trial brought them to a place wherein they were kept separate and apart unto the Lord alone in the hope of his coming. Some stay with this anointing, but some discard it, taking an easier route. It is necessary to examine oneself to see if they are still in the true way by testing their motivation. Is my life set apart solely for the purpose of Christ and his kingdom? That is the question to ask. I, for one, refuse anything less than his full testing in my life so that I may overcome and be found perfect in Christ at his appearing. So are many who are in the earth now thus resolved for this to be real in them, no matter what the temporary cost and discomfort presently. So then comes into play the Lord descending from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, to catch up the saints of the Lord. This is not a bodily rapture as the denominations teach. This is solely being caught up eternally into the full triumphant victory of Christ that he had in his resurrection. This triumph and this victory comes to they that overcome. I do not believe that all Christendom will take part in the experience of 1 Thessalonians 4:14 to 17. And because I do not believe that, Christendom will take part in this many of my readers in the past have turned away. They have gone on expecting a literal rapture to take them away from the world, but this is not what is going to happen. The Lord will come this way to they that overcame, and will catch them up into the victorious triumph of Jesus in destroying the power and ability of the power of darkness, the principalities and things in the high spirit places that oppose the will of God. The overcomers are caught up at this moment in full victory over all the power of the enemy. This catching up is also the same as a man-child being born and caught up to the throne of God. Both are the same picture. Nothing of nominal lukewarm Christendom will take part in this. They will be left to be judged in their denomination in the world of men with the nations of men. The ones who do experience this resurrection of 1 Thessalonians 4:14 to 17 are the very same ones who at the same moment of time receive their eternal glorified bodies being changed into the very deathless fashioned body that Jesus had when he came forth from the tomb. These same ones who are thus caught up into this victory over all the power of the enemy will at that time be done with the personal cross and will also be done with all the ambitions of carnality and delusion that comes by the mixture of flesh and spirit. O dear reader, this is but a smattering of a few. It is a shaking of a sheaf of barley with a few grains falling to the threshing floor. Only a very small number will experience this catching up into full victory at the coming of Jesus. For now, they abide in his victory, but on that day, theirs will also be the victory. These ones will then, with the unlimited measure of the Father, through their glorified flesh, end all the systems of man and end all the power of the enemy over the lives of men. Then mankind, in their leftover carnal condition, will be brought to the little red schoolhouse of learning, there to learn the first principles of the doctrine of Christ without carnality or the power of the enemy to thwart their way and to distort the truth. The overcomers are that strong angel which will bind the enemy, casting him into the bottomless pit. They are also the teachers of the nations, the prophets of the Lord's word, not man's new world order. Nothing of the new world order of man will endure this shaking that is happening now. We need not fear it, for the Lord will come with his kingdom instead. It is his good pleasure to give unto the nations the fullness of his kingdom, and all the nations will subject themselves and bring their glory and honor into that very kingdom. The glory and honor of their individual kingdoms will come in subjection to the kingdom of the Lord in the earth in that day. This is the future work of the presently secluded, set apart, and lonely overcomer. That is what you are coming to. Just as a prince or soon-to-be monarch is set aside out of society, so the overcomers are set aside out of society to be trained, ready to be granted the eternal throne with Jesus. Your seclusion, your set-apart trial, the testing of your faith is there to prove you and to make you ready to be an eternal monarch. Yours will be the right to rule over various cities and nations in the next age. This is his promise to us. It will not fail. The present conflict. Because of this power that is to be granted to the overcomer in the time that is now upon us, the powers of darkness will work as never before to assault and attack and intelligently warfare the life of the lowly overcomer. In truth, the lowly overcomer can remain victorious if humility is their only true character and if faith in Christ's finished work is their daily motto. The minions of hell have been released in a great wave of war to assault and to bind and to destroy the lives of they that would claim the throne and rule and reign with Jesus. attacked bodily, spiritually, and in their soul, emotional areas, the forces that would not allow the will of God to be done have set themselves in intelligent array against the saints. These do not wage haphazard war. They are very intelligent in their designs to distract and to disannul the faith of the elect. They know who the anointed of the Lord are in the world, and they do all they can to make them remain lukewarm and carnal, but they will not succeed. The Lord, through the Apostle Paul, gave us the armor of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:10-17. This armor is the only thing that can ward off the attack of the enemy forces, but it also gives us the mighty sword of the Spirit to wage war and to beat back these forces which would usurp the Lord's authority over the lowly overcomer. In perfect humility, the overcomer bears this armor and wields that sword and thrusts it into the raging animals that are broken loose and are rampaging all around their lives. When the armor is applied and worn by faith, the enemy has no ability to destroy that child of the King. But the child of the King has full authority and power to drive back the powers of darkness and to liberate the light of the Lord into the world of men. We have, however, come unto a time of great darkness, a time where gross darkness covers the people. Churchdom, ignorant of the true way of the Lord because of their marriage to lukewarmness, has not wielded this sword, but has succumbed to these forces which do bind them, much the same way Israel of old was bound by illegal nations around them. Not so the overcomer. Although they remain in obscurity, they hold not the truth in unrighteousness. They hold it right, even though all men might forsake them because of it. So then, the assaults of the minions of hell is continuous in our day, because we are just at the threshold of the coming of Jesus. Just prior to his coming, the earth is found in gross darkness. The nations are lost because the light he has seemingly gone out in the earth. The understanding of men is clouded as never before. Because of rejection, the overcomer who does hold the true light is hidden away, hidden as it were in a cave, away from all others. But the Lord said through Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 5. It is upon the lowly overcomer that this light will shine, and upon that small company of people, that smattering of the sheaf of barley, and but a few grains fell to the threshing floor, those that were typified by the 300 left to Gideon, who went forward and destroyed the entire army of the Midianites. It is to these few that the coming again of Jesus will occur. It is to these few that the rule of the throne of the Lord will be established. In the past 2-month period, I had 4 single sentences spoken into my understanding by the Holy Spirit. All 4 sentences came at different intervals of time, but all had to do with the glorified body which is prepared and which the Lord is ready to give unto those that are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ. These sentences were given to me by the Lord as personal words to me, but I received permission to share them with you so that you could assimilate them into your own life as confessions of faith. as sentences said aloud in prayer, when the fiery darts of the enemy would strike you with sudden fears or areas of past shame. Every time you get overwhelmed with life, say these four sentences aloud in your home. Confess them. Yell them out in faith if you have to. Use them to remind yourself that you are on the victorious side, that you are here today because the Lord is going to glorify your body tomorrow and have you sit with him upon his very throne. Speak these out as a weapon of warfare, as an element in your life that will cause the bright, glittering edge of your sword to slay the power of the enemy. Memorize them, take them to heart, and use them unto his coming. Number one, I have become a tremendous threat to the enemy. Number two, I am a man / woman of war. Number three, I am invincible in my armor of the Spirit when I totally trust in Christ. Number four, I live in armor that is completely impenetrable from all the attacks of the enemy. And I will repeat all four again. Number one, I have become a tremendous threat to the enemy. Number two, I am a man / woman of war. Number three, I am invincible in my armor of the Spirit when I totally trust in Christ. And number four, I live in armor that is completely impenetrable from all the attacks of the enemy. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.